Welcome back. So, season two of PBS's Downton Abbey has drawn to a close. The aristocratic Crawley family and their downstairs servants bravely faced World War I, a chauffeur with the nerve to cross class lines and marry a daughter, and then the Super Bowl. Oh, that was the night I watched both at the same time. But it's over. At the start of the season, we upset about a million of you by giving away too much of the plot. We certainly don't want to upset anyone now at the end, so turn down for a few seconds because here is that ending. Matthew, the distant Crawley cousin who's heir to the huge castle because, after all, it can't be left to daughters, women, overcomes his World War I-caused paralysis and is pledged to be true to his fiancée, who dies rather suddenly of the Spanish flu. And finally proposes to the oldest Crawley daughter, Mary, ever the stickler.
You must say it properly. I won't answer unless you kneel down and everything.
Lady Mary Crawley, will you do me the honor of becoming my wife?
Yes.
Oh, be still, my heart. What will we do until January, when Downton Abbey returns with season three? Well, we'll read. There are at least three books, new and old, that can help fill the Downton void. Author Judith Newman has reviewed them for the New York Times. She joins us. And Judith, first, are you experiencing some withdrawal as well? Because you write that you never realized how many of your deepest desires involved ironing.
It's true. I cannot believe that so much of my life would be so much better if we simply sort of followed the protocols of what was going on in Downton Abbey. And isn't it satisfying when the right people just die or are poisoned or disappear? And it makes me so happy. So I don't know what I'll do. But fortunately, as you say, there are books available for us to look at so that we can keep those particular endorphins going.
Well, just for those who haven't seen the series, in the series, the aristocrats get their sheets ironed, their newspapers ironed. But of course, you don't know. We don't know if we'd be the ironer or the one whose things would be ironed.
Of course. But in my mind, of course, needless to say, I would be having everything ironed for me.
Let's start with the people doing all that work. Margaret Powell wrote Below Stairs. It was published in 1968. It's now subtitled The Classic Kitchen Maid Memoir That Inspired Upstairs, Downstairs, and Downton Abbey. It's been re-released. Who was Margaret Powell?
Margaret Powell was, in fact, a girl from a very poor working-class family. I believe there were seven children living in two rooms. She wanted to be a teacher, but at the age of 11 or 12, maybe 13, mm-hmm. she had to go and work, and that's exactly what she did. Now, she wrote what was perhaps the first real look at what it was like to be below stairs, to be a servant in one of these great houses. And actually, her houses were not necessarily as great as a place like Downton Abbey. Yeah. But she tells rather simply and brilliantly exactly what life was like between them, as she puts it, them and us. And as she says, we always call them them. Them was the enemy. Them mm-hmm. overworked us, and them underpaid us. And to them, servants were a race apart, a necessary evil.
Well, Julian Fellowes, the creator of Downton Abbey, has said that he owes her a debt because she was the first person outside my family to introduce me to that world, that downstairs world, where servants and their employers would live vividly different lives under one roof. But she made it clear that it wasn't as warm as the relationship between the, you know, the servants and the family often is in Downton Abbey.
No, it wasn't as warm. When she was working for people that she liked, she was grateful and very eager to please, but very often all of the so-called economies of the house would take place on the backs of the servants.
Well, again, this is the memoir of a maid at around the same time that Downton Abbey is set, around 1920. When people were starting to wonder about these class restrictions, and she writes she was shamed for actually handing mail directly to the lady of the house instead of putting it on a silver salver, a silver server.
She was taken to task for not having that played. In other words, the idea that her hand could touch the hand of her master was so awful, and it brought tears to her eyes, and it actually brought tears to mine as well, to think that she had to feel that way, and that so many women and men were made to feel that enormous class divide.
Well, that's Margaret Powell's Below Stairs, and you say it's probably the most honest depiction of the time, even though you could also read the book about Above Stairs, Lady Almina and the Real Downton Abbey, written by Lady Fiona Carnarvon, along with her husband. They're the current owners of Highclere Castle, where Downton Abbey is filmed. So this is the building that you're seeing. Julian Fellowes is a longstanding friend of their family. He's said to have been inspired by the home. Lady Fiona Carnarvon, in her book, focuses on Lady Almina, who lived at Highclere between 1895 and 1923, which would have been around the time of Downton Abbey. And she, you know, some of the real-life story of Lady Almina parallels the Downton Abbey story. For instance, it was her husband who actually owned the home, and he married her for her money.
What happened was that the Earl at the time, as I say, they were long on lineage and short on cash, so he needed to find an heiress to pay off his debts and to really make sure that this castle he was in charge of continued to exist. And in the book Lady Almina and the Real Downton Abbey, the publishers are using this memoir. I mean, they're making the connection and kind of exploiting the popularity of the show, of course. We don't know how much of what was written here was distinctly true, since just a year earlier a book came out that gave a very, very different picture of Lady Almina, who wasn't such a beneficent soul. She wasn't like the part played by Lady Grantham in the series, and she took on a series of lovers, and when her husband died, she married his best man and left her own son penniless. So there's quite a different story of Lady Almina told by a book that came out last year by William Cross that's called The Life and Secrets of Almina Carnarvon.
Oh, yet another book. Okay. Put it on our reading list. And we'll have all the books at herenow.org. One last mention, The World of Downton Abbey, which is the companion book to the television series. It was written by Jessica Fellowes, the niece of Julian Fellowes. It just is really wonderful to linger over. I mean, there's the pictures of, look, there's Bates the butler. There's Elizabeth McGovern as Cora. But there's pictures of a house that was similar to Downton Abbey, but owned by the Astors. So there's a great deal of history in this as well.
A great deal of history. And there's also explanation for those of us on this side of the pond about exactly how this hierarchy works, not just the hierarchy of the upper classes, but the hierarchy of the people below stairs. You know, what exactly is the difference between a kitchen maid and a lady's maid, and what are their roles, and, you know, of a valet versus a footman versus a butler, not to mention the real estate porn value of these beautiful pictures.
Oh, that's Judith Newman. We will post her review of at least three books having to do with Downton Abbey at hereandnow.org. By the way, she has a book of her own. She's the author of You Make Me Feel Like an Unnatural Woman, Diary of a New Older Mother. No wonder you love Downton Abbey so much. Escape.
It's an escape from my quotidian life with twin boys, which I think is why a lot of us love Downton Abbey, so we can tune out our children for a little while.
Judith, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.